Talk this morning about prayer. We hear a lot of lessons about prayer. We hear about the need for prayer, about the topics of prayer, the principles involved in prayer, and we need to be persistent in prayer, and we need to have faith in God in regards to our prayers. And we know that there are a great number of folks who do pray, and we encourage one another to pray. I told my wife I might need to start the sermon this morning by saying I know there was a lot of prayer being offered up yesterday evening, but that's not the kind of prayer we want to talk about. I want us not to look so much at principles and need for prayer as the topic of the prayers of the Apostle Paul. In almost every epistle that Paul wrote, he talked about prayer, just as he did in the passage that was read for us by Brother Bill in Romans chapter 10. Most often when we talk about prayer, we think about prayer, in regards to, or at least it's been my experience with most folks, we think about prayer in regards to asking God for a favor or thanking God for some favor that He's bestowed upon us. And by that I mean we talk about praying for the sick and praying for the traveling and thanking God that so-and-so was healed. And certainly these are good and proper things to consider in our prayers. But I think when we consider the things that the Apostle Paul had focus on in his prayers that he expresses and talks about in the various epistles, I think we're going to see a different focus in what Paul's concerned about. We want to pray for our brethren who are in need, who are suffering, who are hurting. But when the Apostle Paul wrote to these brethren in Rome, or when he wrote to the brethren in Corinth, or in Ephesus, or Thessalonica, or Philippi, or Colossae, those various places, he didn't tell them, "I'm praying that you don't get sick." He didn't tell them, "I'm praying that you will prosper." He had some other things in mind. And when we look at what Paul has to say to the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 10, as Brother Bill read for us just a moment ago, we recognize that Paul's prayer for the Romans was in regard to knowledge that led to salvation. Now, in particular, this prayer that he makes mention of in the Roman letter is a prayer for Israel, for his brethren, for the Jews, the ones who knew God. And so it should come out even a stronger statement regarding the need to grow and know and the need for knowledge in order to attain salvation when we consider that when Paul prayed for these Israelites, he was praying for people that knew God. And he said, "I want them to have more knowledge. I want them to learn and focus on the knowledge of God, because so far their actions have not been according to the knowledge that they know of God. They've not spoken wise things. They've not acted in wise ways because they've been more interested in their wants than in what God has." But when Paul prayed for these brethren, he prayed that they might have knowledge that would lead unto salvation. I think when we look at the things that Paul has to say to the various congregations and the prayers that he calls for, we're going to see an entirely different focus than what we oftentimes see in our own prayers and in the teaching we have regarding prayer. When we look a little further, we look into the 2 Corinthians letter, and I don't know that I'm going to cover every single prayer that Paul talks about in the epistles. We don't really have time for that anyway, but we're going to look at a number in various epistles. And in the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, get the one with the 2 in front of it, Dan. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 through 15. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God, not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God because of the proof given by this ministry. They will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of all your contributions to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Now, this prayer that Paul is talking about here is in the midst of his instruction to the brethren in Corinth regarding the need to help those in the regions round about Judea. And he talks about that and what they're doing and how it's going to produce. But when he talks about prayer, he talks about prayer on their behalf. Why? Because God will be glorified through their obedience. Think about what Paul is saying here. Paul says, I'm praying for you, and these brethren are going to pray for you more particularly, he points out, so that God will be glorified. How often in your prayers, when you talk to God, do you consider praying that actions that are engaged in by you and your brethren might lead to the glorifying of God? Isn't that what Paul's talking about? God to receive glory because of the righteous action of these brethren in Corinth. And this glory would be not just because of their action, but also because of the action of the brethren in Judea. Paul wants glory to God because of the righteousness of His saints. That's what he prays about. That's what he says these brethren are going to pray about in regards to the action of the Corinthians. A little further over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, certainly this is a passage familiar to all of us, but it also includes a prayer from the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 through 10. If I stay with my slides, they'll be on the screen. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong. Not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we also pray for, that you be made complete. For this reason I'm writing these things while absent, so that when present I need not use severity in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down. What does Paul tell the Corinthian brethren here? He says, I'm praying that you can be strong so that you will do right. Not so that your doing right will bring some sort of accolades or good feeling to me, but just so you'll do right. Do we in our prayers for ourselves or our brethren, do we pray for strength just so that we can do right? We talk about our needs, concerns, pray to God, and certainly we have example teaching us that we pray to God to supply our needs. Jesus, in the example prayer to the apostles and elsewhere, we pray to God for those that are hurting, yes. But let's remember that our prayers to God also need to include a prayer for strength, that we would just do what's right. Not so that we can receive any glory, but just so we can be doing what is right. Paul, speaking to the Corinthian brethren here, says, I pray for strength so that you can do right. And in verse 10, we included this because verse 10 is a continuation of this thought. He says, this is why I'm writing. I want you to do what's right so when I get there, I don't have to make severe correction. If this prayer of his was heeded, both by the Corinthian brethren, giving attention to what it was that Paul was praying on their behalf, and by God pouring down His blessings to fulfill this prayer. When Paul got to Corinth, he wasn't going to have as much trouble to deal with as he would have otherwise. Why? Because they would be doing right. I pray that you would have strength to do what is right. We turn over to the Ephesian letter. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Surely this is one of those letters where we recognize Paul just almost starts the letter off with a prayer. But in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1, beginning and reading down through verse 23, "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." And I realize all of that is not what Paul's saying is my prayer for you. But I think as we consider what it is that Paul is asking for in regards to these brethren in Ephesus, we can see how what Paul says there in about verse 20 on down relates to that. Look at what Paul asks. He says, "I pray that you might have knowledge in order to achieve salvation." Well, no, wait a minute, Dan. The word salvation isn't in there. The word achieve isn't in there at all, is it? But look, in verse 17, revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, pray that your eyes may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. What did Paul pray for the Ephesian brethren? He said, "I pray that you might gain the knowledge that you need in order to reach salvation." What knowledge? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. These are already Christians. They know about Christ. So what's Paul praying for? Paul's praying that they might increase in that knowledge, that they might be enlightened as to the things that surround Jesus Christ and the salvation that is found in Him. How not only did He die and was buried and raised on the third day, but also after that, He was raised to sit on the right hand of the throne of God. He was put in the power of supreme authority over all the earth. Everything was put under His feet, and He was made head over the church. What does Paul want for the Ephesian brethren? He wants them to continue in their study and reading and coming to an understanding of the Word of God so they can more fully know about the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And not just what they would inherit in the end, but the salvation they have through Him being ruler right now. Do we pray in our prayers, "Father, give me knowledge so that I might be better able to understand Jesus, who He is, and what He's all about, and how that applies to me in living my life today?" Well, yeah, we do. Because if you were listening to Brother John's prayer, he talked about, "Father, give us knowledge, understand." I can't remember his exact words, but the point he was making was we need you to help us to learn and to grow. But are we doing that in our private prayers as well? Are we praying that for ourselves and for our brethren? And we go to the latter part of the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6. Another passage that is probably familiar to most all of us, but in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18 and reading through verse 20, Paul says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Notice what Paul asked for here. It's a little different direction than what he's asking in the other prayers. Now, he does at the very beginning of this passage we're reading here say, "Pray for all the saints." And certainly this is in light with putting on the armor of God and preparing ourselves to be able to stand against Satan. And we pray for one another that we might be able to do that, and that we might be persistent, and we might be able to persevere. But then he says, "Pray for me." He doesn't say, "Pray for me that I can get out of prison." He doesn't say, "Pray for me so that I can be well." He doesn't say, "Pray for me so that I might have the daily provisions that are necessary in order for me to continue my life." He says, "Pray for me that I may be able to have boldness to teach the gospel, even though I'm in chains." How often in our prayers do we pray for boldness to teach the gospel? And remember, Paul's in chains, which means he's in prison, a Roman prison, at the seat of the evil Roman government. And Paul says, pray that I might have boldness to teach while I'm here. Why didn't Paul ask the Ephesian brethren to pray that they might change their ways in the government and make it easier for me to serve the Lord, and I could get out of prison? Why didn't Paul ask the Ephesian brethren to pray that somebody besides this emperor would become the ruler so that it'll be easier? Because Paul knew that the only way to make change in the world was by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This goes back to some of what we talked about in our Bible class this morning. Paul didn't ask for favors. Yes, there are other times when he asked various ones to do things for them. And understand that we can ask God to help us in our sickness and help us get out of... Understand that. But in this prayer, I want us to know, Paul's focus was not on himself, but on the spreading of the Word of God. Even though he said, "Pray for me," he said, "Pray for me to have boldness to preach the Word." Is that a part of our prayers? Is that something we talk to God about? That we might have boldness to preach the Word? Or do we pray to God that our brothers and sisters who are teachers in the schools of our nation might be able to continue to stand firm on the principles that they believe and present the lessons that they must present in a manner that would still glorify and honor God? Or that our brethren who are overseas in some of the countries where there's great oppression, that they might be able to stand up boldly and speak the truth, even though they're faced with persecution and even death? Or, "God be with me when I go to Walmart today, that I might boldly live righteous and see the opportunities to spread your gospel as they come up to me." Do we include those things in our prayers? If we're going to follow the example of the Apostle Paul, shouldn't we? At least sometime, talk about those things. Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren again in the very beginning of the epistle. He talked about his wishes and his prayer for those very brethren. Beginning in verse 3 of Philippians chapter 1, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, Paul starts out here saying, I thank God that you're helping me while I preach the gospel. And then as we come to the latter few verses of what we read, Paul says, I pray to God that you'll be able to continue giving me money so I can preach the gospel. Is that what he says? No. I pray to God that you'll continue to be prosperous and do well so that you can fellowship with all men who are preaching. No. No. Paul said, I pray to God so that you can gain the knowledge, increase in knowledge, to remain. Do we pray to God asking Him to increase our knowledge so we can remain? So that we can stay? So that we can be sincere and blameless throughout all of our life? That's what Paul prayed for the Philippian brother. Brother, I pray to God that you will abound in knowledge and discernment. The New American Standard here says real knowledge and all discernment. Now, might add here, was Paul asking for some kind of miraculous knowledge to come down on these brethren? No. And I don't think the Philippian brethren expected some kind of miraculous knowledge to come down upon them. Paul prayed to God that while they were studying, while they continued to apply themselves to be sincere and to grow and remain blameless, that they would learn better how to serve Him. They would spend time with the Word of God and increase so that they could be filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus. And then would lead to the glory of God. Paul's prayer for the Philippian brethren was not, I hope you can keep giving me money so I can keep preaching. It was not, I hope you continue to be very prosperous and do a whole lot. It was simply, God, I want these brethren to increase in their knowledge so they can remain blameless and sincere. So they can keep on. We need to pray to God that we can keep on. Remain steadfast. When we look at the end of the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4 and reading through verse 7, of course we read in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul, what do you want for the brethren there in Philippi? I want them to have the peace of God that will guard their hearts. I want them to come to understand and know who Jesus is and what He's all about, and to put their trust entirely into Him so that they're not hurt by the barbs and arrows of Satan and his minions. I want you to know the peace of God that can guard your hearts. When we pray for peace, are we praying for peace of God so that we can remain faithful? Or do we pray for peace so things aren't so hard for us? Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with asking God to give me peace. Help me overcome and deal with these issues and problems that are disturbing me. Give me peace. But we also need to include in that a call for that peace to be the means of guarding our hearts so we remain faithful. In all the things that we ask of God, in all the things we've seen so far from the prayers of the Apostle Paul, it all comes back to two things: knowledge and salvation. Did you think about that? That's what the focus is on. Knowledge that leads to salvation, which will bring glory to God. Knowledge that helps us to remain right and faithful and true to the Lord. Peace will guard our hearts so we remain faithful and true to God. We can overcome. Not peace so that we can feel good about ourselves. Not peace so we can be happy, although I'm convinced it'll lead to happiness. But peace so we can remain faithful to God. The peace of God that will guard our hearts. In my Bible, it's over on the next page when we look at Colossians chapter 1. And once again, we go back to the idea of knowledge. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, beginning, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." That's one big long sentence right there. At least the way mine's got it punctuated. One big long sentence. And in that big long sentence, Paul says, "I pray to God that you will have the knowledge to be steadfast, unmovable, walking in the way of the Lord." And I combined a few other verses in there. But that's what he asked. Knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened so you can remain steadfast and patient. And I give thanks to the Father that we're able to be part of His family. Once again, knowledge was the focus of the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the brethren in Colossae. With all the things going on in the world, all the things that these brethren were having to deal with and would have to deal with, all the things that were going on around them. Remember, Colossae's in that group of congregations that were in that region where the seven churches of Asia were. They were probably affected by the things going on in the city of Ephesus and Laodicea and Hierapolis and all those other places. Sardis and Philadelphia. And Paul says, "I'm praying to God so your knowledge can increase so you can remain steadfast." We pray that we might grow and increase. And rightly so. We need to pray for growth and for increase. We also need to pray for increase in knowledge so we can remain faithful. We're not going to grow if we're not remaining faithful first. Knowledge for steadfastness. And then again, we turn to the last part of the book of Colossians, and we begin reading in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak." Paul says, pray that I will have an opportunity to preach the word and that I'll do it plainly, even though I'm in prison. Once again, Paul doesn't ask for prayers in regards to his physical well-being. Doesn't ask for prayers in regards to his being in prison. Pray that I can get out of prison. He says, pray that I have opportunity to teach the word. Do we pray that for our brethren? For ourselves? When we get up in the morning and we thank God for the good night's rest and for the food that we're about to eat, if we don't pray until we get to the breakfast table, I hope you pray before you get there. And we ask God to be with us throughout our day. Do we ask God to give me an opportunity to talk to somebody about the gospel? You reckon if we ask Him for it, He might help us to find one? If we started our day with a focus on wanting to reach someone with the gospel, that as we went about our day and we came in contact with various people, we might recognize an opportunity to talk about the Word, to invite somebody to services, to remind someone of our devotion and our desire for them to know Jesus. It's what Paul asked for the Colossian brethren to pray in regards to him. Pray that I might have opportunity to proclaim, even in prison. A few more to look at in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Paul says, to this end we pray also for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that in the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, we pray that God will be with you so that you walk properly, so that He will be glorified through you. As with some of the others that we've looked at, this prayer of the Apostle Paul takes us back to the statements of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, where He tells us that we need to let our light shine such that men can see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. That's exactly what Paul is saying for the Thessalonians. And remember the situation of Thessalonians. They were a congregation of people that started dealing with Jewish oppression from the very beginning. Hauled before the city council and given fines and fees that they had to pay because of the preaching of the gospel. I recall correctly, this is where they were accused of turning the world upside down. Paul says, I pray to God that you will have God with you in such a way that you walk worthy so that He's glorified in the midst of all of these things. Kind of reminds you of the need for us to be righteous and upright in all our dealings, no matter what kind of situation we're in. Even if we're slaves. Turn over to the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and once again, we see a prayer that Paul asked for himself. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will rapidly spread and be glorified just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that what you're doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now, when Paul asks for prayers on his behalf this time and he begins to talk a little bit, he reminds us that we do need to pray to God that we can be released from our oppression, that we can be saved from wicked and evil men. But not just so we'll be saved, not just so we'll be free from that oppression, but so that we can have opportunity to preach the gospel, so that the word can spread rapidly, and so that we can remain steadfast in Christ. The focus is not on release from oppression, but upon the results of that release. The ability to spread the gospel. Now we come to the letter that the Apostle Paul writes to the young man Timothy, and certainly this is something that we have looked at in the past, but I want us to take the time to look again at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. For of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on the behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between men and God, or between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was anointed a preacher and an apostle, I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. There's a lot involved in this. We talked about this when we went through it in Bible class. We want to look quickly at some things and what Paul prays for here. The import of what he's asking for seems to be that we can have a quiet and peaceful life so that we can live godly and teach the Word. It goes back to the things that we've already been looking at. Paul's prayer was not that we can have an easy life, that the government will not be oppressive so that we can go about and do what we want. But his prayer was that whatever the situation, it may lead to our being able to preach the gospel and live godly lives. If we can know peace in our government, it gives us more opportunity. If we don't know peace in our government, we still have the obligation to teach. Paul's prayer was focused on living godly and teaching the Word. Even when he said pray for our rulers, our leaders, and the people around us. Not wrath and destruction or dissension. So we can live godly lives, preaching and teaching the Word. Righteous and upright, as we talked about this morning in our Bible class. One more we want to look at this morning, and that is in the prayer that Paul offers when he writes to Philemon. In Philemon verses 4 through 7, Paul says, I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith with which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. What does Paul pray in regards to Philemon? Well, for one thing, he prays that you'll keep doing what you're doing. But he prays that his faith may be effective in action according to the will of God. And in Philemon's particular situation, in the helping of the saints that might come through from time to time. Faith in action, that's what he prayed for. When we look at the things that the Apostle Paul has to say in these various prayers that he offers in the epistles, and I know this is a little different than what we normally look at when we talk about prayer, but understand, the focus of the Apostle Paul in all of these things is knowledge and godliness. Preaching the Word, remaining faithful so we can have salvation. Paul doesn't pray for these brethren to have their physical ailments taken care of. You think there were some sick folks there, probably? Other passages teach us we can pray for the sick. We ought to pray for the sick. The examples of the prayers of the Apostle Paul in the epistles, though, remind us that we need to have a focus on asking God to help us grow, help us to teach others, so we can live godly and enter into heaven when this life is over. Let's not forget that part in our prayers. Just don't leave the other undone. But let's don't forget to pray to God for knowledge, strength, and the ability to remain faithful to Him all the way to the end of our time. Hope this lesson has been of benefit to you. I know I'm speaking to a group of people that's been studying the Bible for many years. I doubt there's very many things I can talk about that you haven't all looked at it sometime in the past, but I hope these lessons refresh our minds about the need to remain faithful and depend on God. And as always, there's the possibility that one of us at some point in our recent history have relaxed our guard and Satan got in. And we need to set things back in a right manner with God. Or we've relaxed our actions such that we're not diligent in the service to God and we need to get that diligence back. Our prayer for one another ought to be that we can have the strength to correct our wrongs and to live faithful to God. If you look this morning and you find there's something in your life that is amiss, Jesus wants you to come back. Just as He asked you to obey the gospel to begin with, to become a child of His, He wants you to get rid of sin in your life today and come back to Him. Just like we find the urging of the prophets to the nation of Israel over and over, return to God. If you've got sin in your life, you need to correct it. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. If what you've done is of a public nature and needs to be corrected publicly, or something you're struggling with and you haven't been able to get over, I encourage you to let your desire be known to the brethren. We'll pray with you and for you on your behalf to God so that you might be saved. If you hear the call of Jesus, come while we stand and sing for encouragement.